The Belleville Police Services Board released or discussed and passed its 2026 budget. It includes a 15% increase in spending over 2025, surpassing $33.5 million. In an open letter that was put out late Thursday, Belleville Councillor Paul Carr, who doesn't sit on the Belleville Police Services Board, said he was against the budget and he calls it unsustainable. Joining us in studio right now is Paul Carr. Good morning.
Good morning.
We should mention in a few minutes from now, we'll be speaking with Heather Smith, the chair of the Belleville Police Services Board, and Belleville Police Chief Murray Rod, and we'll get their viewpoint of this. But quite frankly, you just think a 15% increase in the cost of doing policing here in the city of Belleville for next year is just unacceptable.
Yeah, look, well, I want to start by saying, though, that I'm a strong proponent of public safety for sure. And
well, you work in the penal system.
Yeah, and I appreciate the work that's done at the front line. And, you know, this is not a criticism of the officers that are out performing public safety duties day in and day out. This critique is more has to do with obviously the budget and some of that governance. And those are my concerns. But again, for the frontline folks out there keeping our city safe, I recognize the work that they do. They're in difficult situations, dealing with difficult people. It's not lost on me. You know what I do for a living,
right.
And you know, I can appreciate where they're coming from.
It's an incredibly difficult job, and it's a job that is becoming more and more expensive on a regular basis. So maybe the cost of doing policing in the city of Belleville next year is going to cost 15% more.
Well, I guess that's the $33 million question, isn't it? And, you know, I haven't seen the budget, so I don't know. And obviously council will be presented with it in February. It certainly took me by surprise. Look, I know that in 2024, the police service, overspent their budget by approximately $830,000. So I figure that there would be a built-in figure for, that coming to council because they got to recoup those funds there as well. The last two budgets have been 10% increases over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. It's been 40 to 50%. And over the course of the last decade, it's almost 100% increase. And just seeing the unsustainability of these increases, particularly when the city has so many cost pressures. And, you know, as a councillor, we have to have that 30,000 foot view of not just one department, but many departments. And, you know, council had set a 5% target for this year. And, that was expressed out to all external agencies. And I know some that are coming in below that. I sit on a couple of those boards and we're well below the 5% target. I even thought the 5% target was a little lofty for the city in general. So when we see percentages blowing by that three times, it's a cause for alarm.
The city of Belleville is trying to keep its overall tax levy for next year at 5%. This would make it 7 or 8%.
Yes, easily. You know, with this figure at 15%. So last year was a 10% budget increase that translated into about 2.5% tax increase. So out of all of your tax increase last year, you know, 2.3 to 2.5 was just police. So with a 15% budget increase this year, I'm envisioning a 3% or more just on a tax increase just on policing alone.
So, you know, it's a difficult situation. Of course, the Belleville police, like all police services, are arm's length organizations, which means you can't call up Chief Rod and Heather and say no, right? I mean, they, at the end of the day, will decide what their budget is going to be. What kind of things might the Belleville Council, or what kind of things might Belleville Council have in their, I don't know, quiver to try to get that number down a little bit?
Yeah, and you are right. Under the Community Safety and Policing Act, police services are arm's length from municipal councils and are accountable to the board. The board develops the budget or approves the budget, which in case they did yesterday. And from there, they have to present the funding requests to the city. You know, similar, and even though I asked questions on some capital budget items there this past week, you can't cherry pick and say you have to take this out or take that out or take this budget line down. We can't get into that. Council has the authority to basically approve the funding request or deny it, or set what they think is appropriate, and that will be up to police service to address.
So you, in theory, when it comes to the operating budget for next year, and you in February, I think, is when you get together for that, you will say, you will hear a deputation from Heather and Chief Rod, and then you can ask some questions and say, no way, Jose, go back and figure it out.
Yeah,
that's the most you can do.
Yeah, so and deputation under the rules is questions only, so
right.
we can question the individuals coming forward with a deputation, so questions will be posed, but there's no debate or statements during that, and then council will debate it when we get into another portion of the meeting and make a decision as to whether or not we accept the funding request or we send it back to the police service board.
We know for a fact that on the police service board, I've heard from the mayor today, and he did not, just for the record, vote for this budget.
Correct. Yes.
So, and he was the only one who did not vote for this budget on the police service board. Mayor Ellis wanted, I assume, that out. He also says we could, have a special, either counsel or a consultant that would cost an enormous amount of money to, like a proposition council, is that what it is? Something like that to go over this or try to figure it out?
Well, you could. I know that I floated the idea before about hiring a consultant just to have a value for money review, and that's certainly there. And yes, that costs money. But when you're looking at the increases here, you're looking, $4.5 million increase just this year alone. Maybe an investment in a third-party review wouldn't necessarily hurt. Maybe that's a good investment in the long run.
You know, there's people who are listening right now, Paul, who are saying, well, screw the Bevel Police Service and let's bring in the OPP. I'm very much against that. I really respect our police service and the men and women who make our city as safe as they can be. And I think we have a great Bevel Police Service. This is a fiscal issue.
Yeah, listen, don't get me wrong here. This is not me driving an OPP banner by any sense of the imagination. I'm looking at police services across Ontario and seeing different costs per person. And so how do we wrestle this, or how does the police service board wrestle this to make it more affordable? At the end of the day, it's the taxpayers, and that's why I spoke out and why I'm here, is that it's not Paul Carr. It's Paul Carr who represents thousands of people who pay the bills. And so I'm going to be their voice, and I'm going to ask the questions because they deserve the answers. You're a taxpayer. You deserve those answers, and you need us to scrutinize not just the police service, but everything, and to make sure that we're making good decisions that are fiscally responsible. And so that's what this exercise is simply, is opening up that conversation, making residents aware that, there's some pressures here. But at the end of the day, it's, I hear a lot of times is we just need more officers. We need more officers. And, research, like proven research from respected universities that do work in this area. And, I've got a criminology degree, so I have a little bit of understanding of this. But adding more officers to your community doesn't correlate with an increase in safety. Right? That's proven. And
right.
So it's
but
how
there,
it's
but
done.
There is a minimum amount of officers you need. I mean,
sure.
Right now our military is
17,000. No. This isn't about shortchanging, right? And, like we hear sometimes that, yes, we're a central hub, so we have a lot of individuals that come into our community. And yes, some of them probably are up to nefarious activities for sure. But it's cited, we have a large industrial base and, we have lots of people coming into work. Well, that shouldn't necessarily just automatically add to your policing, because these are law-abiding citizens coming to work and make a living to turn around and pay the bill that we're asking them to pay. So it's just in terms of how do you, with limited funds, and I think that's the idea there, is it's you have a limit, but there doesn't seem to be a limit. Blowing three times past a council guideline, and yes, it is a guideline, but not even really getting close, that's cause for concern.
Certainly one of the questions we'll be talking about is there's a minimum amount of community safety that the Bevel Police Service has to provide, and that will be dictated by the provincial government, I assume.
Yeah, there's
a cost to that.
There's legislation, yes, for sure, and there is cost associated with that. But look, if you take the population of Kingston and their police budget, it works out to be about $400 a person. Same for the city of Toronto. Now, Quinny West, OPP, different animal, But with their population at $11 million, is from what I understand talking with the Quinney West counselor just yesterday, is their police budget. That works out to be $239 per resident. So policing is policing. And yes, you're going to have different variables in the community. For example, the city of Toronto is saturated with street gangs and other organized crime and other things that are going to drive the cost up exponentially. But they're doing it around $400 a person. And so,
but there's 2-3 million people in Toronto.
3 million, yeah, and their budget's over $1 billion. It's all proportion. But my point is that on a per person basis, the cost for public safety, I guess, on a policing front, is $400 a property. We're 600 or better, or sorry, per person, we're 600 or better.
At the end of the day, is this not that question? The question is how much are residents of the city of Belleville willing to pay for their safety?
And I think you need to then add to that question, and what are they willing to give up? Because the other side of it is, like, we're only going to tax for what we really need. But the reality is, and here's the other thing, is internal city staff, and I know this talking with the CEO, have worked very hard to get their internal budgets below 5%. Very hard. And it's taken some sacrifice, which is fine. But at some point, if you get these pressures at 15% higher with a 3% tax increase, then we're going to stop doing levels of service things. We're going to stop cutting grass. The parks are going to grow. The sports fields may not be maintained to the degree that residents expect. And so that's when I say, as a counselor, you have that 30,000 foot view, because I have to be concerned about everything. I have to be concerned about, is our water treatment plant working properly? And are we putting funds into that? Under Walkerton rules, I have a personal liability if there's neglect. And so there's those responsibilities. Parks and recreation, you're talking about quality of life. Just our parks and having that aesthetic look in our city. You don't want the city to look run down. So we have staff that do a lot of work. All our floral beds and everything that staff do a lot of, that all costs money. And so if the police are coming in with these large amounts, then something's got to give on the other side. And some of that is going to be peeling back levels of service.
And on the other side, I guess, if the parks are filled with criminals and things of that nature, people aren't going to use them anyway. So people need to feel safe in their community.
Yes, but the other side of it, and this is why I asked the chief, and hopefully we get those answers. I know it was he didn't have it on him at the time in terms of some data sets. But out of the 28,000 calls in 2024, how much was core policing direct criminality that needs to be addressed for public safety, and how much of it was non-criminal, not core policing? So mental health, you know, some of these other things that really don't involve the police. And here's a prime
example. Except they do, though.
Well,
now.
No. They only do because the police are obligated to respond when they're called. And when no one knows what to do, they call the police. And I'm going to give you an example. The Belleville Police Service put a video out on Facebook a little while ago, and it was a body cam footage. And it was an officer trying to wrestle a raccoon in somebody's bathroom. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why that's a police call.
Well, is it a Paul Carr call? I don't know who's calling it.
It's an animal control call.
Right.
And it's in a private home. So if that person calls animal control, they're going to have to pay for it. So, like, for example, we had skunks in our neighborhood. So I got together with the neighbors and said, look, we all have dogs. We got to protect the dogs. I'll call animal control. We'll set up some traps and we'll coordinate the cost, right? We had to pay for that. So why is a public servant, a police officer, making six figures with call pressures that they need more officers, wrestling a raccoon in somebody's house? It's animal control. But the problem is the call went out to the police. The police are feel obligated. I think I would have tiered that differently. But there's no reason for it. Now, it makes for good humor and all the rest of it. But the other side of it is if that officer who shouldn't be doing animal control gets injured, the raccoon has rabies, that officer's off. Now you need more officers because that officer's off. You see what I'm saying? And so it comes down to how deployments and how efficiency coupled with the cost is being balanced. And that's just one example, but it caught my eye to go, like, if this is happening, and that's one example, how much other? So getting back to the 28,000 calls on a regular basis or on a yearly basis is what are those that are not core policing? Because then we as council need to be that voice to go to the provincial government to say we need more investments here because it's costing our taxpayers on policing that is not core policing.
If there's a raccoon going crazy in my bathroom, I don't know who to call. And I doubt, depending on the time of day, animal control is just going to show up. And by the way, keep your doors shut, folks, because the raccoons will come in. They will come in, and they like bathrooms.
Apparently.
They like hygiene. It's a thing. Okay, last question before we let you go and bring in the police and the police services. You weren't happy with the way that the actual budget appeared. I mean, you found out through our news service.
Well, yeah, I obviously scanned the news many times during the day, and I saw it, the article posted on Quinney News. And so right away I went to, and I'd already scanned the police service board agenda and reports. I watch all external agencies, even if I'm not on them. And, so it looked, a regular board meeting. It had a lot of stats for third quarter and things like that. And I didn't see any budget, and all of a sudden the budget's approved and it's not there. And so, yeah, that's puzzling. So of course I reached out to the mayor to say, like, what's going on? Do you have a copy? He didn't even have an electronic copy. It was only paper copy distributed. So it was very limited. And at the end of the day, these are public funds. This is, there's requirements, for public meetings and, they need to be followed. And, so I was a little perplexed by that. And I was equally surprised. And I know you might ask me this too, is the fact that I had asked questions about the capital budget and its impact on operating budget just 3 days ago, 4 days ago, and that figure wasn't available, council was told, and you can go back and watch that council video. But yet the operating budget was just passed on Thursday. So there's no way the budget was created in 2 days. So the capital impact on operating, that figure had to have been known by somebody.
Mm, okay. Well, we'll ask these questions to the chief of the police service and the chair of the police services board next.
And can I just jump in one more time, or do you got to run to commercial?
Well,
I want to touch one more thing.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so one more thing too is, again, looking about what they're required to do, and I want to talk about the capital budget for a second, because there's that community rescue vehicle, which of course I asked a lot of questions on, and it was suggested that the police needed this because there was, lots of ramming of vehicles and things of that nature, right? And so, but interestingly enough, and I did a little bit of research on this, and vehicles have to be, pursuit rated. And, so for example, like there's an apprehension pursuit policy that's derived from the province. So when you talk about the province sets the rules, and they have to be pursuit rated vehicles. And a community rescue vehicle is not a pursuit-rated vehicle, so it would never be in a situation where it should be, unless it's there already on a call, where it would be protecting against a suspect that's ramming, right?
Right.
So, and then the other thing is, the chief was clear that this vehicle is not a patrol vehicle. It would be activated for certain incidents, and I think his words were, and you can go back and look at the meeting video, it will sit more than it'll be parked more than it's used. So therefore it's not like it's out circulating the community and suddenly there's a pursuit and you're going to get the community rescue vehicle. It doesn't meet the pursuit guidelines from the province.
Well, I wish our whole discussion today was about this thing. I mean, if it was just about this vehicle, that would be one thing, but it's about, a major increase in taxes.
Yep.
And so we're going to talk about that budget increase next as we are joined by the chief of the Belleville Police Service, Murray Rod, and Heather Smith, who's the chief.